Hare Krishna, good morning, everyone. So, today we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam. I got a special verse. It's one very important verse. It's called the Atmarama verse. We'll have it soon. And it's special because Lord Chaitanya explained it in 18 different ways. Two times Lord Chaitanya, first of all, it's in the Bhagavatam, and that's why we read it today. And then Lord Chaitanya twice in the Chaitanya Charitamrita spoke about it. One time he spoke with the greatest scholar in Jagannath Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and by explaining this verse so many times, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became convinced he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, no one can explain this verse so many times. And then he spoke it again to his disciple Sanata Goswami and have some very interesting points for us. Before we read the verse, I want to tell you kind of the background, why this verse came. It came from a question. And the question was, why did Shukadev Goswami, who was a self-realized soul, bother to study the Bhagavatam, which have 18,000 verses? It's a lot. It's like, if to give you an example from university life, if someone already have a PhD, why would he go and start again studying in school? So the sages didn't understand. And to tell you, I'll tell you a little bit about Shukadev Goswami. He have a very interesting life, and then we'll read the verse. So Shukadev Goswami was the son of who? Vyasadev. And Vyasadev I'm wondering how much should I cover. I'll do it short. Vyasadev was the one who wrote the book we are reading, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he started writing it after writing all the Vedic literature. And he wasn't satisfied. And in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it's explained how Narada Muni came. And he explained to him why he wasn't satisfied. Anyone know why he wasn't satisfied? I hear like whispering.
Vyasadeva was despondent because he has divided the Vedas in four sections. And Narada Muni said, you have given facility to people for doing karma kanda, but you haven't glorified Supreme Personality of God to your heart's content. So, and he instructed him to write Srimad Bhagavatam.
Nice, thank you. So Vyasadev wasn't happy because he wrote all this Vedic literature, but he didn't describe Krishna. He wrote more about the four different goals of life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And then Narada Muni told him his own story. He said how he was the son of a maidservant, how he became a devotee, how he became happy. And Vyasadev sat and started meditating like Narada. He started meditating very deeply. And he could see Krishna and he could see all the pastime. And that's where the Srimad Bhagavatam came from. So that's where we are in the... We want first the verse. Okay. So that's where Vyasadeva was sitting, and then he had a son. And that's where our story starts. Vyasadeva did for 12 years austerities, and he had a son. The son's name was Shukadev Goswami. And because of knowing the Bhagavatam already, not knowing the Bhagavatam, but being transcendental or being on the Brahman platform, Shukadev Goswami didn't want to go get out of the womb. Vyasadeva's wife was pregnant for 12 years and the son didn't want to come out. It's Prabhupada tells it in a purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 9 13, I think it's from the Brahma Vivarta Purana. So the wife was pregnant, Shukadev was there. He didn't want to go out to the material world. He was already Brahman realized. So Vyasadeva didn't know what to do. So he went to Dwarka. Krishna was there. And he asked Lord Krishna to come and speak with the baby and tell him it's okay to come out of the womb. He will still be Krishna conscious. I guess he was afraid of the challenge of coming out to this material world. So Krishna came and he spoke with the baby and he assured him everything will be okay. And Shukadev Goswami came out. But when he came out, he immediately left home. And Vyasadeva was again broken-hearted. He just got his son and his son left. And the Bhagavatam described he was calling to his son and only the trees were echoing, "My son, my son." And he didn't know what to do. So then he decided to send two of his disciples with verses from the Bhagavatam. Two very special verses that describe Krishna beauty and glory. And they went out to the forest and were reciting those verses. And Shukadev Goswami heard those verses and he became attracted. Although he was self-realized, he wanted to hear more about Krishna. So he came back home and he studied the Bhagavatam, like we will do today. He studied 18,000 verses. And that's where we started with. So this verse speak about the Atma Rama. Atma means self and Rama means pleasure. So those people who already find satisfaction, they are happy. They are Atma Rama. They are on the Brahman platform. They don't look anymore for having material pleasure. And this verse explained that those people also will find Krishna very attractive. The name Krishna means all attractive. So even people on that platform will find Krishna attractive. And when you read about how different acharyas or teachers in our line compared material happiness with Brahman happiness, with devotional service happiness, it's very interesting. Like in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami gave a number. He said, compared to material happiness, the happiness from devotional service is, anyone know how many times more? It's 1 million. Any other guesses?
1 billion.
1 billion. 1 trillion. It's true. It's 1 trillion. And the translation from the Sanskrit word is to explain that there are no other numbers. So he gave like the highest number. He said it's 1 trillion times more. The happiness you can get from devotional service is 1 trillion more than the happiness from Brahman realization. And Prabhupada gave this amazing name, which I wanted to use one time for Sunday program, but Suri didn't allow me. One time, there were hippies coming, I think it was 66 or 67, and they came and Prabhupada was speaking and they were sitting in class. And one of them in the end, he asked Prabhupada, he said, compared to LSD, how much more happiness is there in Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, Krishna, the happiness from Krishna conscious is an ocean of LSD. He just wanted, it's not that Krishna conscious have anything to do with LSD, but he wanted to try and give them the example of how much happiness you can get from devotional service with their own terms. So he thought it's a too far out name for a Sunday program, an ocean of LSD. But not for Bhagavatam class. Yeah, those are for more advanced devotees. So we'll read the verse and we'll read the purport. And Prabhupada will give different, like he will analyze the word Atmarama 5 times and Munayo 7 times. And when I read those long purports, a way that helped me keep in track is try to remember, like I try to, that I will remember at least one meaning after those five. So try it if you like. Surit, you'll do the Sanskrit? Oh, yeah? You can do line by line and then we'll all do together. And then we'll just read. It's a long purport, so each one of you will get to read a little bit.
Okay, Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Atmaramas Chamunayo.
Atmaramas Chamunayo.
Nirgranta Purukane.
Nirgranta Purukane.
Kuvantya Haitukim Bhaktim.
Kuvantya Haitukim Bhaktim.
Itambhuta Gunohari. Line by line? Yeah, all together. Sutta Uvacha. Atmaramas Chamunayo.
Atmaramas Chamunayo.
Nirganta Purukrame.
Kame. Nirganta Purukrame.
Kuvantya Haitukim Bhaktim.
Kuvantya Haitukim Bhaktim.
Itam Bhuta Gunohari.
Itam Bhuta Gunohari.
Who like to chant? Okay, great. Don't have to move.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Nirgrantha Pyurukrame.
Nirgrantha Pyurukrame.
Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim.
Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim.
Itham Bhuta Gunohari.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Nirgrantha Pyurukrame.
Nirgrantha Pyurukrame.
Kurvanti Ahetukim Bhaktim.
Kurvanti Ahetukim Bhaktim.
Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari.
Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari.
Granta apya rukrame. Kurvantiya haitukim bhaktim.
Itam
bhuta guno hari.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Nirgrantha Pyurukrame.
Nirgrantha Pyurukrame.
Kurvanti Haitukim Bhaktim.
Kurvanti Haitukim Bhaktim.
Itam Bhuta Guno Hari.
Itam Bhuta Guno Hari.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta
Goswami said,
Atma Ramaha,
those who take pleasure in Atma,
generally
spirit self,
cha,
also,
munayaha,
sages,
nirgranthaha,
freed from all bondage, api,
in spite of,
urukrame,
unto
the great adventurer,
Kurvanti,
do.
Ahaitukim,
unalloyed.
Bhaktim,
devotional service.
Ittham,
bhuta,
such wonderful.
Gunaha,
qualities.
Hari,
of the Lord.
All different varieties of Atmaramas. Those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls.
Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atmarama sloka very vividly before his chief devotee, Srila Sanatana Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the sloka, namely 1. Atmarama, 2. Munaya, 3. Nigrantha, 4. Api, 5. Cha, 6. Urukrama, 7. Kurvanti, 8. Ahetukim, 9. Bhaktim, 10. Itambhuta Guna, and 11. Hari. According to the Vishvaka Prakash Sanskrit Dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atmarama, which are as follows. 1. Brahman, the absolute truth. 2. Body. 3. Mind. 4. Endeavor. 5. Endurance. 6. Intelligence. And 7. Personal habits.
The word Munaya refers to 1. Those who are thoughtful, 2. Those who are grave and silent, 3. Ascetics, 4. The persistent, 5. Mendicants, 6. Sages, 7. Saints.
The word Nirgrantha conveys these ideas. 1. One who is liberated from desires. 2. One who has no connection with scriptural injunctions, that is, who is freed from the obligations of rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterates, urchins, etc., who have no connection with regulated principles. 3. A capitalist, and also 4. One who is penniless.
According to the Sabab Kosha dictionary, ethics is used in the sense of certainty, counting, voting, and forbiddance. And the word Grantha is used in the sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. The word Urukrama.
The word Urukrama means the one whose activities are glorious. Krama means step. This word Arukrama specifically indicates the Lord's incarnation as Vamana, who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful, and his activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency and the material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading features, he is everywhere present as the Supreme Truth, and in his personal feature, he is always present in his transcendental abode of Goloka Vrindavan, where he displays his transcendental pastimes in all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone else's. Therefore, the word Urukrama is just applicable to him only.
According to the Sanskrit verbal arrangement, Kurvanti refers to doing things for someone else. Therefore, it means that the Atmaramas render devotional service unto the Lord not for personal interests, but for the pleasure of the Lord, Urukrama.
Hetu means causal. There are many causes for one's sense satisfaction, and they can be chiefly classified as material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation, which are generally desired by progressive persons. As far as material enjoyments are concerned, they are innumerable, and the materialists are eager to increase them more and more because they are under the illusory energy. There is no end to the list of material enjoyments, nor can anyone in the material universe have all of them. As far as the mystic powers are concerned, they are 8 in all, such as to become the minutest in form, to become weightless, to have anything one desires, to lord it over the material nature, to control other living beings, to throw earthly globes in outer space, etc. These mystic powers are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The forms of liberation are 5 in number.
Therefore, unalloyed devotion means service to the Lord without desire for the above-mentioned personal benefits. As the powerful personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, can be fully satisfied by such unalloyed devotees, free from all sorts of desires for personal benefit.
unalloyed devotional service of the Lord progresses in different stages. Practice of devotional service in the material field is of 81 different qualities, and above such activities is the transcendental practice of devotional service, which is one and is called sadhana bhakti. When unalloyed practice of sadhana bhakti is matured into transcendental love for the Lord, the transcendental loving service of the Lord begins gradually developing into 9 progressive stages of loving service under the headings of attachment, love, affection, feelings, affinity, adherence, following, ecstasy, and intense feelings of separation.
The attachment of an inactive devotee develops up to the stage of transcendental love of God. Attachment of an active servitor develops up to the stage of adherence, and that for a friendly devotee develops up to the stage of following, and the same is also the case for the paternal devotees. Devotees in conjugal love develop ecstasy up to the stage of intense feelings of separation. These are some of the features of unalloyed devotional service of the Lord.
According to Hari Bhakti Sudhoya, the import of the word itam bhuta is complete bliss. Transcendental bliss and the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in the pit made by cow's hoof. It is nothing compared with the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. The personal form of Lord Shri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all taste. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystical powers, and liberation. There is no need of logical arguments in support of this statement, but out of one's own nature, one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Shri Krishna. We must know for certain that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord.
So by interpreting each and every word of this shloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of a pure devotee.
Any questions or comments so far?
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna takes away the obstacles in his life, in the spiritual life of a pure devotee. But if he's a pure devotee, how can he have obstacles?
The question is if a pure devotee can have obstacles in life. There's so many ways to answer it. But if we just look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, which most of us know, and you see how much challenges he had, we can understand that maybe the way we look at what we call obstacles is Krishna sees it differently. He sees it as a way to glorify his devotee, the way to show the determination, like Arjuna in the Gita or Srila Prabhupada. So I would say what we see sometimes that as problems, obstacles, or challenges that will make our devotional service more glorious, more beautiful. You'd like to add, Kalakanta Prabhu?
Yeah, it's harder to think of examples of pure devotees who did not have obstacles. So it just glorifies the devotee. This is Krishna's way of glorifying the devotee. And also being assured that the devotee has no sense of wanting to stay in the material world.
Please.
I was going to add also that sometimes to arise, the pure devotee may, I mean, even in this world, the pure devotee may be covered over for a while by Krishna's illusory energy. So that, and then his status as a pure, I mean, really, if we practice, I mean, I was talking to a devotee yesterday, and he said, perhaps one of the most important words in the Vaishnava dictionary is when. And so we actually have the capacity to become a pure devotee, but the question is, it's a question of time and a question of desire. So if we have that desire just to serve, then the obstacles will be removed. So, often we have to go through, you know, traumatic experiences to develop that pure desire, you know, to those traumatic experiences that help show us that we really have no way to enjoy this material energy, and that the question of being a pure devotee is a question of time and a question of desire, and then ultimately dependent upon the Lord's mercy and his removing of those obstacles of devotional service.
Yeah, I remember one story that they took a picture of Prabhupada, I think in some newspaper or somewhere, and the person who saw it, he told Prabhupada, "You look kind of sad in this picture." And Prabhupada said, I was in deep ecstasy. It was a moment of great ecstasy. So when we speak about happiness and different levels of happiness, it's, if we go deeper, as the Vedic scripture does, they say that the happiness in devotional service is better than any other happiness, because it includes all the other kinds of happiness, and it's excel them. And I want to tell you about one very special Atmarama. When we read all those examples Prabhupada give, it's kind of, for me at least, is those are great personalities, the Kumaras, the Rukmini, but what does it have to do with me? How can I become an Atmarama? But when Lord Chaitanya spoke with Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gave an example of a very interesting Atmarama who was a hunter. And he was like the lowest of the low in terms of spiritual advancement, we can say. Anyone knows his name? Megrari. What does Megrari means? It's the enemy of the animals. And Lord Chaitanya tell this story to Sanata because he want to make a point, which is the point I want to make, which is the point Kalakanta Prabhu gave for this class, is the power of devotional service. That devotional service is so powerful that even someone who is the lowest can become the highest. He can become an Atmarama. And we'll speak about how to do it. Just before that, Lord Chaitanya, he gave an example from the Bhagavad Gita why it's almost impossible to get out of this material world. Anyone know Bhagavad Gita 7:14 by heart? It's an easy one. Go. The English. Someone know the Sanskrit? That's all of us who know it. Let's say it together. Devi yasha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Gopal, the English. This divine.
Your mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it.
Yeah, thank you. So Lord Chaitanya, he quote Bhagavad Gita, and the idea is that Krishna created this material energy, and it's not that we can overcome the material energy, no matter how good we are, how beautiful we are, how powerful we are. It's compared to a dog trying to swim across the ocean. He won't get very far. You have a big ocean and you stand and you can think, I can go to the, when I was a child, I was not in the ocean, but I was looking at the Mediterranean and I thought if I could cross it, I could go to America and other places, but you cannot cross the ocean by your own strength. So Krishna says only if you surrender unto me. And Lord Chaitanya used more the word taking shelter of. If we take shelter of Krishna, then the power of devotion and service will take us over the ocean. Prabhupada gave the example of the elephant and the fish in the water, that the elephant is the most powerful animal on the land, but if you go inside a river with a very strong current, he won't be able to stay there. He will be taken away by the power of the river. And a very small fish, just because of taking shelter of the water, will be able to do whatever he wants inside the river. He will be able, there are fish that are able to go against the stream. And another example, the example I like the most about the power of devotional service is come from India. I heard it in a tape. Prabhupada was speaking one time. He gave the example of people who go with bicycle in India. Those of you who were in India maybe saw it. You go with bicycle and then they see the bus while they are still on the bicycle. So they hold the bus and they stop pedaling and they go very quickly with their bicycle. So he gives the same example that when we get in contact with devotional service, it's not our power anymore. It's the power of Krishna, and Krishna can take us over this ocean. So, and then he tells the story of Megrari, and I'll tell it again, and those of you know it, I'll tell it in a short way and in a way that it's more applicable to us, to our situation. Because there are many similarities between us and Megrari. So the story is that Narada Muni was walking. He went one day to, he wanted to go to Prayag. Prayag is Allahabad, and it's a place where the three rivers combine. And you can even see in the water some blue water from the Ganges and more deep green water from the Yamuna, which is the third river. Saraswati. So Narada Muni went there, and on his way went through a forest. And while he was walking in the forest, he saw a deer with broken legs. And the deer looked like he was suffering very much. He was twisting in pain. And Narada Muni felt compassion. And then he went a little bit more and he saw a rabbit. And the rabbit also has his legs broken. And he was twisting in pain. And Narada Muni again felt compassion. And then he went a little bit more and he saw a boar that was in the same condition, suffering. And then he saw the hunter. And it's described that the hunter looked like Yamaraj. He was black with red eyes, and he was behind the tree trying to shoot more animals. So Narada Muni left the path and he started walking towards the hunter. And when all the animals saw Narada Muni, they ran away, and the hunter became aware that he came. And the hunter wanted to chastise Narada Muni. He said, "Oh sage, why did you come and now all the animals ran away?" But because of Narada Muni potency, such a powerful sage, he couldn't say any curse or anything. He was just like, and Narada Muni said, "I came because I have a question for you. Are those animals that have broken legs belong to you?" Megrari said, "Yes, those are mine." And Narada Muni said, "Why didn't you kill them completely? Why did you only half kill them?" Why do you let them suffer so much? So Megrahi said, that's what I learned from my father. My father was also a hunter, and we take pleasure, we hunters, we take pleasure in seeing the animals a little bit suffering. Like Andy was telling me, he had a friend in the army that took pleasure in drinking the blood of, not a friend, someone he knew. You want to tell the version? Okay, but... So Megrahi was from the same family. He was taking pleasure in torturing the animals, and Narada Muni felt very sad. So Narada Muni preached to him, like he usually do, and Megrahi wasn't convinced. So Narada Muni told him, you're going to suffer, and he used a little bit mystic power. He showed Megrahi how all the animals that he was killing will one day kill him. And Megrahi got really sad and frightened. He kind of understood. And he fell to the feet of Narada Muni, and he said, what can I do now? Now I know that I did so many horrible things. And Narada Muni told him, it's a slight offense, you kill animals, but the fact that you make them suffer so much, that's a big offense, and for that you will suffer very much for so many lifetimes. So Megrahi understood, and he fell to the feet of Narada, and he asked him what to do. And Narada Muni gave him instruction. He gave him a very interesting instructions. He told him, break your bow. And Megrahi was very much afraid to do it. He said, if I break my bow, how shall I maintain myself? That's all I know, to kill animals and eat. So, and Narada Muni said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I will personally send you food every day. And that's exemplified for us. That we spoke a little bit about surrender, so... That was the surrender of Megrahi. He had to break his bow. He had to give up the way he was living so far. And then Narada Muni told him the mantra, which is the Hare Krishna mantra. And he told him to go back home and take from his home just a piece of clothes and go and build himself a small hut and put a tulsi plant there. And to sit all day and chant Hare Krishna. And Megrahi did it, and Narada Muni went away. So Megrahi didn't have like an official ceremony of initiation. He just got the mantra from Narada Muni. And he got his association for a few minutes, and Narada Muni left. And after some time, Narada Muni came again to this area, and he had a friend with him. I think it was Parvat Muni. Who was with him? Parvat Muni? Yeah. And he told his friend, I have a disciple here, and I want to visit him. So they went and they visit Megrahi and his wife, who were living in a small hut now. And Megrahi saw them coming from the distance, and he was very excited to see his spiritual masters. So he stood up and he wanted to run and greet them. But he saw there were ants on the road, so he started jumping, trying not to harm the ants. And Parvat Muni asked Narada, what happened to him? Why is jumping like this? And by that time, Megrahi came and he started jumping and singing Hare Krishna, and Parvat Muni was very impressed. He said, that person that was a hunter not so long ago, now he cannot even harm an ant, and he's completely in ecstasy in chanting Hare Krishna. So now the Muni asked the hunter, he asked him, do you eat enough? You get enough food? And he said, yeah, I wanted to tell you to send me less food, because all the people heard about Megrahi And in India, when you come to visit a holy person, you bring with you some rice or cake or something. So they were coming and giving him more and more food. And he said, don't send me so much food. Please send less food. Otherwise, we are wasting the food. So Lord Chaitanya gave this story as an example for us. He gave it to Sanatana Goswami, and it's applicable to us, the power of devotional service. And the point that Lord Chaitanya makes is devotional service start and depend on one thing. Anyone want to guess what that thing is? The most powerful thing in devotional service, the most important thing in devotional service. Association. Association of pure devotees or pure devotee. And Megrari didn't have much time to spend with Narada Muni. He had only a few minutes, but he took very seriously the instructions of Narada Muni and his association, and that's how usually devotional service start, by being in association of someone who is the devotee, and then you start thinking, maybe I will also start to serve Krishna or be Krishna conscious. And it's like the seed, the sambandha is coming to the heart. And after that, association of devotees will determine how much we will advance in devotional service, how far can we go in devotional service. And they say that even a moment association with someone who is an advanced devotee can take us over this ocean of material life. So Prabhupada give, I want to speak a little bit about how to associate with devotees, but let's see again if anyone has any comments or questions.
Just a small comment. The same Narada Muni, when he incarnated as Srivast Thakur, he asked Lord Chaitanya Prabhu for prasadam. If you don't supply prasadam, I'll commit suicide because I don't have time for earning livelihood. I want to engage myself in devotional service. Prabhuji was telling a story about Nagarari, and he was sort of worried about how he will maintain his livelihood. So Narada Muni assured him that I will provide you with the prasadam. But in Chaitanya Leela, Narada Muni incarnates as Srivas Thakur. And he wants an assurance from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you should provide me prasadam. Because if you won't, I will commit suicide and I don't have time to earn my livelihood. So you should provide me prasadam. So he does the same thing as Bhagarai is doing in this Leela.
Yeah, the Lord always supplies. There are so many stories. I'm aware that we have only 4 minutes and I want to make, I want to make this point very practical. So how do we associate how to take advantage of association? Prabhupada gave this example, he gave it one time in Bombay, of sex life, which is very interesting. He said that just like a woman that likes to have a child, she has to be ready and the husband has to be potent. And then this association will produce a very influential person. So in the same way, we have to, first of all, have a sincere devotee or someone who is advancing Krishna conscious. And then we have to prepare ourselves. We have to open our heart. We have to be willing to hear from them. And in that way, we will advance in devotional service. So what I want to do with the 3.5 minutes we have left is do a practical exercise. Today is a special day. It's the disappearance day of 3 Atmaramas, Gopal, Bhatta Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. and I don't have time to tell them about them, to tell you about them, but they are very wonderful. But another way to open our heart and get association is to hear Srila Prabhupada. It's compared that when you hear a pure devotee, it's like a lion coming inside your heart and all the weaknesses and small animals are running away. So I want to play Srila Prabhupada speak about Raghunath Das Goswami, and you will have the words. And it's a very wonderful story how Raghunath Das Goswami decreases eating from eating a lot to eating almost nothing. And then we'll eat breakfast.
Not that you, when you advance, naturally you'll not feel. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. There are examples. Raghunath Das Goswami was a very rich man's son. And he left home. So he joined Lord Chaitanya. So his father, he was the only son, very beloved son, very nice wife, left everything. So he's, and left means stealing, without saying anything. Somewhere or other he left home. And the father could understand he has gone to Lord Chaitanya, Puri. So he sent 4 servants, because he was a very rich man, and 400 rupees. 500 years ago, 400 rupees means 20 times at the present time. So, first of all, he accepted that, father has not like, sir, what you are, how you are spending money? So he was inviting all the sannyasins in Jagannath Puri. There are many sannyasins, renounced order. And every month he was offering, feasting. Then after a few days, Lord Chaitanya inquired his secretary, Sarup Damodar, oh, nowadays I don't get any invitation from Raghunath. What happened? Sir, he has stopped accepting his father's money. That's very nice. He thought that I have renounced everything and I'm enjoying my father's money. This is not nonsense. He asked the man, you go home, I don't want money. Then how is he living? He's standing on the staircase of Jagannath temple, and when the priests go home with their prasadam, they offer something and he's satisfied. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is all right, very nice. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring how he's standing there. So he saw he's standing. So Raghunath Das Goswami, after a few days, he stopped that standing. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired his secretary, I don't see Raghunath standing there. What is he doing? No, sir, he has given up their standing because he thought, I'm standing just like a prostitute, somebody will come and give me something. No, I don't like this. That's very nice. Then how is he eating? He's collecting some rejected rice in the kitchen, and that is it. So to encourage Raghunath Das Goswami, one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his room. Raghunath, I heard that you are eating very nice food stuff and you are not inviting me. He has not replied. So he was finding out where he has kept that rice. And he took and immediately began to said, you do not eat. This is not fit for you. It is Jagannath's prasadam. How do you say it is not fit? Just to encourage him. He may not think that I am eating this Egypt. In this way, Raghunath Das Goswami reduced his foodstuff. Ultimately, every alternate day, only one piece of what is called butter. So much. he was offering him bowing down 100 times, chanting 7 times. Sankha Purvaka Nama, you have heard it while singing 6 Goswami's song.
So that's Prabhupada speak about Raghunath Das Goswami. And he will say later, don't try to imitate Raghunath Das, just try to follow his footsteps. So we'll end here. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna, Gantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.